All right. Yeah, so today we are going to wrap up this little piece about God's Word. We talked about quiet time last week, and we talked about hearing God's voice, and we talked about just the need to be able to spend regular devotional time with Him. And I do pray that you're trying to make time. Even 10 minutes every day can set the tone of your day. And I'm just grateful for those of you that were able to share. And it's so cool being able to get something the Lord gives you in the morning, and then you find an application for that later in the day. It's really uncanny how the Lord does that. It shouldn't surprise us, because we're His body, right? And so how else does that person get that word for that day unless he's got a body and you're part of his body? And so when you go into the day kind of prepared, then it's like he's going to be there for you. Today we want to add kind of a second part. We talked last week about how to read the Bible devotionally, but we want to talk about studying the Bible today. And we're on page 77. Let me just go through these blanks and give you a quick illustration here. You know, six ways that you and I can take in God's Word. I love telling brand new believers that, you know, just read a paragraph from the book of John. Start in John or start in Mark. Just read a paragraph. If you accepted Christ today, then just take a paragraph. Don't read a whole chapter. It's too much. Babies need food. And food for us, spiritual food, is taking in God's Word. And so we want to talk about six ways that you can ingest God's Word into your life, going from least difficult to most intentional. And number one here is we have to learn how to hear God's Word. And of course, that's really simple, hearing God's Word. We hear God's Word. That's what you did today when you were hearing Pastor Steve. You were hearing God's Word. How many of you listened to Caleb as you were driving in to work this morning? Or the fish, 94.3, safe for the whole family. And so, you know, we hear God's Word. That's one way you do it. It's almost been 4 years ago. This November will be 4 years ago. I personally got convicted in this area of just hearing God's Word. I used to be a talk radio junkie. Going to church, coming home from church, going to work, coming home from work. I mean, every day, man, we had it on 99.7 or 1510 WLAC. I mean, you know, it didn't matter who it was. And I had an aha just realizing that I was getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And it wasn't, none of that was helping me. And so personally, I felt the Lord just said, just turn it off. Just turn it off. And it's been, this November, it'll be 4 years. I mean, I haven't listened to any of these people. Not Rush or Phil Valentine or, I mean, I can't even remember their names. Michael Savage or, I you know, and just turning on the radio. I love listening to K-Love. It's just a great way, you know, you pray in the morning coming to work. Just praying, singing. I mean, it's just, the point is, it's an intentional way to take in God's Word, number one. Number two is to read God's Word. That makes pretty good sense. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'll ask the question. How many of you have a regular Bible reading plan? Some method that you can use to work through the Bible? I could ask it this way. How many of you have ever read through the Bible in a year? I was challenged as a young believer about 19 years old, my first year of university, to start reading through the Bible every year. And it's been something with probably, you know, less one hand. I'm 62 now. And it's been, I mean, every year, at least two, if not three times. This year, I will have read through the Bible three times this year. Now, that doesn't mean I know a whole lot. I know a lot more than I did when I was 52. And by the time I'd been reading it through every year, by the time I was 52, I knew way more than I was when I was 32. And I was light years ahead of 22, right? So it's not about mastering. It's about trying to have some way to take in God's Word. And that's, you know, that's where a quiet time really comes in handy, because you can just go through. I mean, you can read through the Bible if you will only read about 20 minutes a day. There's a great book out here. If you've never read through the Bible in a year, there's no way I could. Yeah, yes, you can do that. I would suggest just getting a one-year Bible. This makes it real simple. I mean, this puts the cookies on the bottom shelf. All this is they take the Bible, they cut it into 365 sections. So every day you're reading a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a psalm or two, a proverb or two. And I would commend the New Living Translation. It's a great translation to help you, you know, just read through it. If you get stuck in Leviticus, don't sweat the small stuff. Keep going. You'll know more than you did the next time you read through it. But just find a plan. If you'll turn into your appendices, well, actually, there's a plan here at the bottom of page 76 that goes on to the next page. You can read through the whole New Testament in a month if you wanted to use that plan. But turn in your appendix to page 100. Page 100 has a... anybody have been here when Pastor Don Finto... He's about 87 years old. Pastor Don's been in this church. He preaches here about once a year. Sweet guy. He has his own Bible reading plan that doesn't require a year. You just read through the various sections of the Bible. He gave me permission to print that here. You've got that on page 100. Here on page 102, if you flip over, this is a way to read through the Bible in a year, but reading through it chronologically. Which means you're reading, this is what happened first, and then this is what happened. So you'll get into Genesis for a couple of chapters, and then you jump into Job, because most scholars think the book of Job was written about the time or just before the time of Abraham, which you have later in Genesis. So, you know, the point is you read through stuff. As you're reading through David, the life of David and Samuel, then you'll be having the Psalms as you read through, the life of Solomon and his stories and in 1 Kings and in 2 Samuel, then you'll be getting the Proverbs. And so it just puts it in chronological order. That's kind of fun. This is my favorite plan on page 104, if there was a page number. But flip over. It's called the Balanced Bible Reading Plan. This is kind of like the Finto plan, except it puts it in a year. It's a way that you read through the Bible in a year, and there's a reading for every day. But each day you're reading through one of seven different genres of Scripture. So, the first day of the week on Sunday you're reading through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So you start in Genesis. Then you get into some of the Kings and Judges on Monday, the Kings on the back half on Tuesday. You're in the wisdom literature, which means Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You read through that on Wednesday, the Old Testament prophets on Thursday, the Gospels on Friday, and the epistles, which are not the wives of the apostles, by the way. Those are Paul's letters and Peter's letters to the church. You read through the epistles then, and so you just read through a chunk, so you're literally reading every day. Anybody have an iPhone or an iPad?
Sorry.
If you have an iPhone or an iPad, I would commend to you to download, if you've not already got it, eSword. eSword is a wonderful tool. Rick Myers goes to this church. He invented it. You'll pay a couple of bucks. It's great because you don't have to have Wi-Fi. It comes free with the King James and the King James Plus, which I'll tell you about that in a moment. It comes free. You can download the English Standard Version. That is a wonderful translation of the Bible. It comes free. You can download the Contemporary English Version, which is kind of like the New Living Translation. All of those are free. You can buy other translations, but they all come free. Some of these other Bible apps, like you have on Android, or like the Blue Bible or Bible Gateway, they're wonderful too. They're wonderful as long as you have internet access. But if you go to Haiti and there's no internet access, then you're messed up. But if you have, but this balanced Bible reading plan that we just talked about, I can show you how to do that on your iPad. I've been using that for years on my iPad, and it works great, the balanced Bible reading plan. You read through a different section of Scripture. You know, you read through it in the morning, you read through it in the evening. You can go through the Bible twice in a year if you take about 15, 20 minutes and just read. You know, read at your lunch break. Just saturate yourself in God's Word. That's number two. Number three, study. How do we study God's Word? And we'll talk about that in just a moment. How to study. And so, that means, have you heard the phrase, well, bro, you just need to dig into God's Word. Huh? Right? I mean, if you're going to make some headway in the Christian faith, you got to just dive in, man. You got to dig in and start eating meat and dig into God's Word, right? How do you do that? We're going to talk about that, and you're going to do it here in just a moment. Number four is we memorize God's Word. This is a little bit harder. Anybody here have a photographic memory? Huh? I mean, use it. That's a gift. When I was at undergraduate school, we had a guy that was in our school named Dale Ditto. We had an evening service at Oral Roberts University, open to the whole city. And about once every, 6 months or so, maybe twice a year, he would get up and he would be that evening sermon. So he would get up. He had a photographic memory. And he would get up and he would quote from memory the book of Galatians, all six chapters. Or, and then 6 months later, he'd get up. Paul's letter to the Philippians. And he was just like, it's... So to memorize Scripture, we can memorize the stats of the Nashville Predators, right? Go Preds! How many assists, how many goals? Our stats about our baseball team or our fantasy league or all the golf shot, man. He made two double eagles. But can we memorize God's Word? There's a wonderful plan that's actually in the appendix here. I think, actually there's some notes here. It's the benefits of memorizing Scripture right there. And there's some instructions about how to memorize, the Bible. If you have I don't know if there's this on Android or not. I use an app on my Bible. It's called Bible Verses. And the little icon has a picture with a finger and a string tied around it. And so there's all kinds of verses by different categories. If you flip over, you'll see at the top of page 78... These are some suggested clumpings of Scripture that a group called the Navigators. Anybody ever hear of the Navigators? If you're a World War II generation, you would have heard about them. They were a discipleship movement that really started out with military folks, and they've got a whole, just these little bands of Scriptures. So here's ones about the new life, 12 or 15 different, 16 different verses, about proclaiming Christ, about relying on God's resources. And you can find all of those on this app. Those are included on an app, and as well, you can memorize your own verses. Type your own verses in here. It's called Bible Verses. Is just the name of it. You Google in the App Store. But there's other resources. There's really no reason that we shouldn't be memorizing Scripture. I like to, in my quiet time. Now we're talking quiet time. Kind of jot down a verse that spoke to me that day and just to be thinking about it during the day. I don't memorize every one of those verses, but at least it kind of keeps it in the forefront of your brain. But certainly there's memorizing Scripture, and then finally we have meditating on Scripture. This is a fifth way. Again, we're talking about how do we get God's Word into our lives? And so then we meditate on Scripture. That word meditate has a broad range of meaning. It means to mutter, to think about, to imagine, to visualize, to put yourself in the scene. It means to rehearse in your mind. I think I might have told you before that if you've been in your garage just kind of puttering around and muttering to yourself, or you're in the kitchen muttering to yourself, that's a form of meditation. Just turning stuff over. And so we memorize Scripture, not to get the little blue star for the Bible class, but we memorize it so that we can meditate on it, so that when we're praying for people, boom, the Lord can bring Scripture. See, it's the Holy Spirit that brings to our remembrance, right, the things that Jesus said, right? But if there's nothing in there, He can't create something out of nothing. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to bring a verse to your memory that you've never read or never memorized, right? But if you memorize verses... we were on the prayer team this morning. This woman comes up, had a need. Boom, immediately, do not fear. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Isaiah 41:10 just came out because it was there. Because I'd memorize it, and you meditate on it, you do it. And the final way to taking God's Word is obviously to apply His Word. Page 79. We apply God's Word. You see that little application bridge there. It's important that we understand what the writer meant when he wrote it, the then and there. Then we find that timeless principle, and now we have, we can put that principle into practice now. If some of you like Bible study, if you like biblical interpretation, we sell a book at the bookstore. I would commend this book to you. It's used in colleges and universities around the U.S. and in different countries. We use this book in Africa. It's called How to Study the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee. And it's a very good easy to read, digestible way to give you some tools to understand how to interpret Scripture. Now, the reason that I say all this is that, again, how do you take in God's Word? If all you're doing is listening to Steve on Sunday and maybe once a month reading the Bible, you know, it's like you don't really have a grasp on God's Word. And so how easy is it for the enemy to come and just rip that right out of your hand? But imagine the difference if you're listening to God's Word, if you're reading it on some daily way, just reading it devotionally, letting the Spirit speak to you, and then you're digging into it, you're applying the old gray matter here. You're applying your brain cells to studying it and to searching it out. You're memorizing portions of it. You're meditating, and really, it's obedience, is it not? It's obedience that ties all of those other things together. And so you obey it. And so imagine what happens now if the enemy comes. He can't. You've got his word. You've got his word. You've got a firm grip on the word. I don't mean to be funny and cute, a little bit. But to make the point is that it's not. Anyway, you want to take this seriously. Application is what we get to at the end. How many of you want to be deceived? Please raise your hand. Go ahead. How many of you want to be deceived? I want to be deceived. No, please, no. Go ahead. You can raise two hands if you're. Don't be shy. James chapter 1 says it this way, that to be a hearer of the word, you know, he goes, don't be a hearer of the word only and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And so the whole point of Bible study, for show, for sure, but also the whole point for just, man, hearing Steve, hearing the word, don't just let it go in and one out. Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what do you want me to do with this? As you're reading the word in the morning, what is it that's speaking to you? And how can you apply that? And you want to, the bottom of page 79, you want to look for some kind of smart application, something that's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and transferable. What's a smart application?
Well, I read about loving God, for God so loved the world, and my application is I'm going to love the world this week.
Bogus. That's bogus. I mean, that's not even a good intention. The issue is, how can we make that specific? Okay, this week I'm going to love my neighbor by taking their trash can in, because I know they always get back late at work. I'm going to take their trash can in this week early after the trash collectors have come in, and I'm going to leave it by their back door, right? See, I'm doing something. Or this week I'm going to memorize this verse. Or this week I'm going to put a little sticky note right on the dashboard of my car that says, lay hold of it all. Or, you know, this week I'm going to just put another sticky note on the fridge, stand firm in the faith. Or whatever it is, find something that you can do to apply God's word. Are we together? So that then goes into the question then, how do we study God's word? Turn over to page in your appendices, page 105, and let me just give you an example. I rated your Bibles this morning 0 to 3. I'm going to submit to you, and of course I can do that because this is my class. Actually, Shane. Hey, Shane, raise your hand. This is Shane's class too. Shane will be with you next week, and if you like me, you're going to love Shane and Faith. Is Faith coming next week? Awesome. You guys are going to be jumping, shifting gears. Shane will be here next week, and then I'll have two more weeks, and then Shane will take this puppy home, and you're really going to love the last half. But what we're going to be talking about is why I rated your Bible 0 to 3, and I'm going to submit this. A good study Bible has to at least be a 2. And what do I mean by that? A study Bible must have at least 2 things. And if I gave you a 1 or a 0, it's because it didn't have any or just had 1. No, it's got to have 2 things. Number one, a good study Bible needs to have something in the back called a concordance. So turn to the back of your Bible or the Bible that I lent you, and you will see a concordance. A concordance. What is a concordance? I've never seen that. That's why I didn't get that Bible. All those wasted pages. A concordance is nothing more than a listing of some, that's the operative word, some of the key words that are in the Bible. So you'll find words like faith and shepherd and grace and love and Christ and Satan and devil and righteousness and justified, right? You'll find key words. And if you look out beside those words, then you'll see a list of places where you can find other verses, not all the verses, but other verses in the Bible that have that, you know, that word used. So if you're on page 105 in your notes, and if you look to the right side of the page, you'll see a bunch of words like you'll see the word shelter. See the word shelter? Where can I find a verse about shelter?
Joel.
Joel, and where else?
Deuteronomy.
Bingo. There it is. How about the word shield? Where can, man, I just was praying and the Lord just showed me this picture of a shield. And man, I just want to know, man, what's this thing about the shield mean? Okay. Oh, go to your Bible. So you flip to your concordance. Where do you find words about shield? Right. Yeah. Right. Like Genesis, Psalms, and Ephesians. They're all words about shield, right? Are we together? Now, if you have an electronic Bible like eSword or like the one that you have on your Androids, many of those will have search features, so you can type the word shield in and you'll have a list of every place in the Bible where that word is mentioned. Or, if you're strong like me, you can carry around the strongest concordance, the Strong's Concordance. You have to be strong. Because this thing weighs a ton. But this is literally what this book is. What this book is in little fine print, BYOG, bring your own glasses. But what this book is a listing of literally every word in the Bible, where it's found, and beside, yeah, right, it's almost painful to the eyes. And so you've got every word, and beside every word is a little bitty number. There's a little bitty number. Some of them are italicized. The italicized ones are typically... Well, actually, this is not, no, this is, anyway, this has Strong's numbers. They have italicized and bold typically. And what those numbers are the Strong's word that go back to the very back of this book, to the very back of this book, and there's something called a lexicon, which is just a fancy word for, that gives definitions. So here's the Hebrew definition of that word, or here's the Greek definition of that word. If you get eSword or on your Android phone, probably you can get a translation that'll have like KJV, King James Version, with a plus sign. Ever seen that? If you have that on your eSword or your Android, that little plus sign just means that beside every word, English word, there's going to be a number. Whether you're reading the Old Testament or New Testament, there's going to be a number. And next to that number, if you click on that number, then you can go straight to what the Greek definition of that word is or the Hebrew definition of the word. That's all that that means. And it's quite interesting because at least in eSword, you know, you'll see these besides every... see that? Beside every word, there's a little bitty number. And if I was to click on that blue hyperlink in that number, it will take me to the Greek or to the Hebrew word. Are we together? And what's cool in eSword, that if you hold that little number down, you can search the Greek word. How many of you know that sometimes a Greek word or a Hebrew word can be translated one way in one verse, but they'll use a different English verse, English word in another verse, right? Are you, right? And so the point is, we have all these really awesome electronic tools. You can see this in your, so we're on page 105. You can see the Lord, like Psalm 23, the right-hand side is what's called a concordance. A study Bible has to have a concordance. Some of you got a zero. That's because yours didn't have even a concordance. Some of you got a one. And that's because all your Bible has is a concordance. I think one person got a 0.75. I just made that up because it didn't look like it was had very many words. But most words will be like 20 to 30,000 words. So that's one thing. You have to have a concordance. The second thing that a study Bible must have, this is the irreducible minimum, to score a 2. If you want to score a 2, you've got to have this. You've got to have cross references.
What is that?
Well, cross references, look on page 105 to the left there on the left side. You'll see the Psalm 23. Do you see that? To the left of Psalm 23 in English, you'll see a very thin column with a bunch of little numbers. Do you see that? I've had people say, man, I never knew what all those little numbers was. I wanted to get a Bible that didn't have all that stuff. No, you want a Bible with this kind of stuff. Cross-references are either in the middle of the page or they're out to the right-hand margin. These are cross-references. What these are these cross-references are tied. Let's look at the first verse of Psalm 23. See where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you see that little letter A by the word shepherd? You see that? Okay, look to your left. Look to your left. See where it says Psalm 23, about halfway down that little skinny column? And you'll see in bold, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? That represents the verses. Well, we're in verse 1, right? Okay? We're looking at page 105. Everybody see this? I want you to see this on this page so we're all looking at the same thing. Well, look at number 1. Do you see that small little letter A? Huh? What's beside that? Huh? Isaiah 40:11. Somebody read Isaiah 40:11 real quick. So somebody look it up.
Like a good shepherd, he takes care of his people. He gathers them like lambs in his arms. He holds them close while their mothers walk beside them.
What a great cross-reference. What do cross-references do? Cross-references gives you what the editors of that particular translation thought was another place where that same, in this case Hebrew, you know, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew. Like 97% of it. There's a few places where there's Aramaic, but it's 97% Hebrew. And so that cross-reference, that Hebrew word for shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that editor said, you know what, this word shepherd, let's take you over here to Isaiah where the same Hebrew word for shepherd is used, but in the context of the verse, it kind of expands our understanding of what it is that shepherds do. Are we together? So read that verse again slowly. Listen to this. This is what shepherds do.
Like a good shepherd, he takes care of his people. He gathers them like lambs in his arms. He holds them close while their mothers walk beside him.
Yeah. See, so that's what shepherds do. You see how that kind of shows some different nuances and some different facets of the word shepherd, right? That's the purpose of cross-references. A cross-reference, you'll see if you look on this Psalm 23, is it's either before a word or sometimes it's reflecting a clause of that verse or maybe the whole verse where that same thing, that same thought is used elsewhere. There's another cross-reference that says, I shall not. And what do you see beside the I shall not? What do you see there?
Philippians
1:18. Does everybody see that? You see that little bitty B in the text? A little bitty B. Do you see that? And so you look over to the left under verse 1 and you see B, you see Philippians 4:19. What does Philippians 4:19 say?
My God will use his glorious riches to give you everything you need. He will do this through Christ Jesus.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, that's expanding this whole concept of not having any need by taking you to Philippians 4:13, Paul's letter to the Philippians. Right? To the Philippians, right? Are we tracking? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many of you see something beside the word want?
Number 1.
What does that mean? Well, look over in your cross references. What does it say?
Lack.
What that is the editors of this translation have said that when you see the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the Hebrew word for want there, you could equally translate it lack. So you could say the Lord is my shepherd, you shall not lack. That's a slightly different nuance, right? You could read that both ways. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want that Porsche. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Either way is an acceptable translation. That really jumped out at me. One of my favorite examples is Psalm 55:22 in the New American Standard. The old New American Standard Bible, it used to say, cast your cares upon the Lord and he will sustain you whole, never let the righteous to be shaken. The cross-reference there, the marginal reading was, cast what the Lord has given you upon the Lord and he will sustain you whole, he'll never let the righteous be shaken. I mean, the point is, those kinds of little cross-references can help you to understand alternate readings of the text sometimes, things of that nature. Are we together? So a study Bible must have a concordance and it must have cross-reference. That makes it the irreducible minimum. When I travel, when I go to Haiti on Tuesday, I'm taking a little skinny New King James like this. Why skinny? Because it's the irreducible minimum, and I can slip it in the small of my back over my shirt, and I can go into church on Sunday, and it's not a big deal. I mean, if I carried my big Bible, you know, you've got this big lug and this thing around. No, you wouldn't want to do that. So you've got to have that. Now, some of you, many of you, this class is actually pretty good. Most of you had threes.
I had a three. That's even better than a two.
Yeah, it is, actually. A three is a Bible that has what's called commentary. So about halfway down each of your pages, there's some notes where the editors have put, you know, their notes. The commentary can be good because it can give you insight into the culture, into the history, into what's going on at the time, into the customs, just things that you wouldn't really understand. Many of your Bibles also have like introductions to each book of the Bible. Who wrote it? When was it written? Who was it written to? Why was it written? What are the major themes? Pastor Dave Buren, any Iron Men here? The Iron Men. We're Iron Men. And so like Pastor Dave has recommended this book called Talk Through the Bible. It's a wonderful book that just has all of that introductory material for all the books. It's about this thick, big print, but it's got some great charts each chapter. I mean, it's just wonderful tools. So, but you don't have to have that. The problem with the commentary, the little notes at the bottom of the page, is that you can just get your insights from that versus digging out God's Word yourself, right? So I'm going to pass out a papers here. I'll let Chris help me. You do one side and we'll get the other side here. What we're going to do is we're going to do a Bible study. And I've got Psalm 32. So I've got you all here on the same page. If you have your own study Bible, you can use that. And you'll see the same thing. You'll see I photocopied a couple of little entries from verse 1, just some of the key words there to the right here. But probably if you have a study Bible, I would say use your own study Bible. You say, yeah, well, my cross-references are different than yours. I got ripped off. What happened? No, you didn't. The cross-references, you understand, there's nothing at all that's inspired authoritative about the cross-references. That's just what the particular editors of that translation, you know, they chose those verses. Editors of another translation may have chosen different verses for different reasons. Who knows why they chose the ones they did? But typically they're relatively similar. But what I'd like for you all to do now, and I will see if I can pass out just some small little pieces of paper so we have something to write on. What I want to do is let's take 15, 20 minutes, and I want you to just study Psalm 32. And so when you do that, I'll see if you can maybe pass out maybe two pages to every person here, or maybe just one page. You can just jot it down. I don't know. Give everybody two. Let's live it up. I feel generous today. So what we'll do is just read through Psalm 32 a couple of times. You know, pay attention to that verse that kind of jumps off the page to you. Maybe it's just a word. You know, maybe there's one word that just, wow, that word just really captures my attention here. Okay, we'll pause on that word and then go to your concordance and see where else you can find that same word. Or look at the cross-references. And it's when you look at the cross-references, I call that chasing down the bunny trail. And so you'll find a cross-reference to some word or some clause in verse 5. Okay, well, look up that cross-reference. You may get to verse 5 in the book of Ezekiel, and there's cross-references for that one, and you may trace that word in the passage from Ezekiel down another cross-reference, and you'll go, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I can't believe what I just got out of 2 Timothy. I mean, there's like cross-references everywhere. So what I'd like for you to do is to try and find, I don't know, three or four, you know, just as many as you can. What you can do on your paper here is you can just jot down, verse you know, verse 1, the word blessed. Okay, and then just jot down the cross-reference. And then you go to that cross-reference, and what's the thing that you learn from that cross-reference? What's the insight? What's the nuance? What's the new knowledge that you see from that cross-reference that helps you better understand verse 1? Does that make sense? Okay, so we'll do that, and maybe we'll take, I don't know, we can take 15 or 20 minutes and do that. So, you want to do some in your cross-references, and you'll want to look up some words in your concordance. Try that out. On that piece of paper that I gave you, I highlighted a few of the words, like the word forgive. There's about, I don't know, 10 places where you can see the word forgive or forgiven, forgiveness, all of those different things, like transgression, transgress, transgressors, cover, covered, covering, covering. You know, you'll see those words. Not all of them are used in your passage, but you can, you know, just have fun with it. And then probably what I'll do is I'll set my timer and I'll say, all right, now put your pen down just for a moment and close your eyes and focus on that one thing that really kind of lit you up, the thing that you highlighted the most. And then, all right, Lord, what do you want to say to me about that? And you might do a little journal entry just right there. Just, you know, just jot down what the Lord's telling you about that thing that you got it excited about because you studied it. Are we together? And then at the very end, just think to yourself, okay, what's one thing that I can do to put that thing that I got excited about, to put that into practice? What's one thing? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the timer here, and I'll set this for about 15 or 20 minutes or so, and let you study, okay? Oops. So now what I've done is I've turned the class loose. If you're listening to this online, take the next 15, 20 minutes or so and use cross-references and use your concordance and find a word or a clause from Psalm 32 that piques your interest and search it out. Search it out by looking up the keywords from the concordance. Search it out by using the cross-references that are beside the verse and going to other passages. And you might just jot down what the other passage is and, again, what you learned about it. After a few minutes, I'll bring you back into the class. Now, after you've jotted down some thoughts about what you believe the Lord would say to you, why don't you just wrap up by closing your eyes again and thinking, all right, what's one practical thing that I can do this next week with God's help to apply the insight that you've taken from the study this morning? You've gotten a speck of truth. What's one thing that you can do practically? It's kind of like if you had to remember to do something, you might tie a piece of string around your finger. Well, what's that piece of string in effect? What is it that you can do to keep the impact of that truth that you got from your study front and center in your thinking, that you could put it into practice in your own life? Maybe just jot down a quick plan of action. This week I'm going to, just whatever it is, I'm gonna make it a matter of prayer to thank God for my forgiveness, or I'm going to memorize this verse, or I'm going to call my friend Charles and tell him how he can be blessed, or I'm going to write a letter, or I'm going to clean out my closet just like the Lord cleaned me out, or just whatever. Just what's a plan of action, something you can actually do to take what you know to do and translate that into doing something that you know. Let's take another 45 seconds or so. All right. Well, if you've heard anybody ever say, you just need to dig into God's Word, you've just done it for 22 minutes. Have you ever seen the movie The Princess Bride? Inconceivable! No, I mean, you've done it. This is what Steve does when he prepares, you know, for his Word. I mean, he gets into the Word himself. How many of you, let's show of hands, how many of you just got a fresh insight? Everybody. That's awesome. It's interesting. I didn't say this at the top of page 79. The way I like to say it is that if you can apply just a speck of truth, just a little bitty piece of truth, right? If you can just get in the habit of applying a speck of truth in your life, every day, every week, it will change your life. I like acrostics because they help me to remember speck, S-P-E-C-K. You read through this passage, was the thing that jumped out of you some sin to confess that you hadn't seen before? Was it a situation to avoid, S? P, was it a promise to claim? Or was it a principle to put into practice, to observe? Was it an example to follow? Or an expectation to cultivate? C, was it a command to obey or some concept to embrace? Or K, was it some new knowledge about God or the Holy Spirit? You know, all you need is just a speck of truth. I told you when we talked last week about hearing God's voice that that's been one of the things that has changed my life in the last, this coming February, it'll be 4 years since I've been intentionally trying to journal. It doesn't happen every day, but it happens weekly, and it's been good. This, what you just did for 22 minutes, was something that I did as a 20-year-old for a year, and then for about 4 years that we lived in Israel, and then another 3 or 4 years when we were with our staff in Kenya. Every week we would do an inductive study just on a chapter just like this. And the point was, is that then it led to application. Applying the truth. Steve did a sermon series. The series before this one that he just did was on rebuild, don't relax, right? The second week of that, he talked about what do you need to build a strong foundation. You know, you need to be in prayer. You need to be in the Word, right? You need to be in community. You need to be in worshiping the Lord, right? I got convicted. Because I hadn't done this kind of study like you did for 22 minutes. It'd been about probably 15 years since I was at another church that I actually did this kind of study on, like Wednesday nights. We went through the books of Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, blah, 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 doing just like this. And so as a result, my application, having been convicted to the Lord, is I did a, I don't think any of you are in that class, but there's a class Wednesday night. We're doing a DIY Ephesians study on the book of Ephesians. 6 weeks going through the book of Ephesians, just like we spent 22 minutes on. What we did is the homework is you go do this, and we have a little, we have a bookmark. If you can't put on a bookmark, trying to teach too much, which I won't give you. But the bookmark is a little more structured. We do a few more different things, but it's essentially this, studying God's Word and then coming together on Wednesday nights. We have had some marvelous times. Just the insights that people have gotten. And I mean, it's been wonderful. Now, here's what I want you to do. Everybody raise your hand. You got something. Everybody stand up. What I want you to do is find somebody you do not know. Like this side of the room, migrate to that side. Don't get with your spouse. Don't get with your BFF. Mix it up. And then just, you know, find a person and just share with them. Hey, here's what I got. Here's my insights. Be so bold, share your application. here's what I believe God's wants me to do. This is what I'm going to try and do this week with God's help. Share. Encourage one another. Ready? Go. So I have them sharing with each other something that they got from their study. I'll invite you back, if you're listening online, back into the class here in just a moment. But I want to challenge you, encourage you to find someone. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody at the workplace that you can share what you got out of your study just now with them sometime this week. I'll call you back into class in just a moment.